Come on, so let's look at this today. We're continuing in Live Simply. If you could turn with me, please, Hebrews 13 and 1 Timothy 6. Hebrews 13, 1 Timothy 6. Ran out of room last week in time. So this week we're going to kind of finish up where we were going last week and then go into where we're at this week. And I think it just, please hear this. If you've been here long, you know I love to preach and I love to get going and just... today's going to be more teaching because we're going to go over a lot of scripture. Today's going to be more teaching because it's one of those subjects that I want you to really get and let it settle in your spirit. And it might even be life-changing for many because we're going to walk out of this place challenged. We're going to walk out of this place today thinking, going, man, is that me? Like, is that why I can't find satisfaction? Is that why I don't know what the word content means in my spirit? And please hear this. I want you to know this right off the bat. Contentment's an attitude. Contentment, to find yourself being content or discontent, that's an attitude. That has nothing to do with your possessions. That has nothing to do with your stuff. That has nothing to do with your upper class, middle class, lower class. It has absolutely nothing to do with your paycheck. It's an attitude. Because before I even get into preaching this, the litmus test of every message that I preach is, could I preach this in India to those who have nothing? That's a serious test, church. Could I preach this to those in Africa who have absolutely nothing? Because that is, and I check my messages going, could I preach this to anybody around the world? Because we got to remember, come on, as Americans and live in this amazing, blessed country, love our country, love America. God has blessed this country. It is the land of the free. It is the land of you. If you want to make money, you have the right to go make as much money as you want to make and work as hard as you want to work and find a job tomorrow. If you wanted to find a job, you could start a business tomorrow. It's an amazing country to live in that we have the freedom and the ability to make as much money as we want to in a sense of how hard we're going to work. So in that, it's amazing. But I think sometimes, watch this now, I think sometimes we walk into an American mindset when we try to read scripture. And we try to Americanize the Bible. Well, when it was written, America wasn't really here. So it's really not an Americanized book. But I think we fall at times into a trap where we read it and we Americanize it and we forget that it's written for the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions in India who have absolutely nothing. It's the same word for them. What if every pastor actually preached every message that could be preached around the world to any single person? Because that is the way God designed to write the word. So we have to stick to the script in the context of the word of God and to know that your contentment, when God talks about being content, he's not looking at your financial status. God has a lot to say about money. And he's a lot to say about the love of money. So please, even in the beginning of this teaching, man, don't misunderstand anything that I'm saying in regards to finances. Or if you have a lot, oh, you're no good. Like, that's not, listen, we could go through person after person, family after family in scripture that was boatload loaded. I don't know if they had a boat, but they were loaded financially, and God used them and blessed them with more. So it's not so much how much you have or have not. So watch this now. It's a matter of where you put it on the scale of priority. Please hear that. It's not a matter of how much you have or how little you have. It's a matter of where you put what you have on the scale of priority. And in a sense of where your contentment lies. So let's just get into this teaching. Going to be more teaching today. Because it's going to be things that we're going to be covering ugly words today. We're going to be covering the stuff that takes contentment out. We're going to covering next week. We're going to say, how do you know if you really are content? And how do you know in one word what it means to really be content is to be thankful. What does the word thankfulness really mean? And that is where satisfaction really comes from. That is the test of if I'm really honestly content in every circumstance, am I thankful? That's next week. That's going to be an uptick. That's going to be one of them preaching messages. We'll get back at it. But this is one of them teaching messages because we're going to cover some language today that it may string a chord in your spirit to go, that's me. Or man, I struggle with that. Man, that's somehow that seed came in and I don't know why I deal with that, but I struggle with that and that robs me of contentment. Now, another thought to this teaching is this. Please don't think you're just supposed to be satisfied with every situation. Because if you have a bad marriage, do not walk out this place saying, well, the preacher said, I'm just supposed to be content in a bad marriage. I'm just supposed to be satisfied when my marriage just stinks. That if you've been here any time past today, that you know that that's just not true. We're to work and make things the way God designed things to be full of life. Listen, Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came to give you life and it, life abundantly. That's not talking about heaven. That's talking about here and now. In the present, now, while we're on the earth, Jesus himself, who is Lord, who is God in the flesh, who is the King of kings and the Lord of all lords, who is the one who is in control, he says, Sean, I want you to live life and have it abundantly here. Now, so it's not like, oh, my life stinks and I'm just supposed to be okay with it. That's not what this teaching is. That's not what this teaching is. It's an attitude to look at what we have. And if there's areas in our life that are ungodly, if there's areas in our life that the marriage, we're just not doing our part, you have 100%. I've just coming off a marriage series, and you know you have 100% chance to have a great marriage if you do it God's way. That's a marriage that is full of life. That's a marriage that's full of peace. That's a marriage that's full of joy and laughter and excitement and doing life together till death do us part. You can have an amazing, amazing marriage. So if your marriage is bad, please don't walk out of here to think, wow, it's just going to have to suck it up and just deal with it because I'm just supposed to be satisfied in this rotten position. That's not what this means. That's not what this means. Fix it and make it abundant, right? So let's look at this. Come on, Hebrews 13. Lord, help us to speak this in a way that is just sinks in and settles. God, let it settle in our hearts, God. Let it settle in our spirits today, right now. Right now, God, begin to identify things in us. God, we're to be people who are content. We're to be people who are satisfied. We're to be people who look to you and say, Jesus, you truly are enough. And I walk in a place to say, in every season that I'm in, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, Father, wherever we're at today, we look to you. Jesus, you're the source. Come on, speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, that's kind of where we closed off last week. We closed off with Paul. He's writing in Philippians. He's writing from a prison. He's writing about the seasons that he's had in life. I've had it all. I've lost it all. I've been everywhere in between. And he's talking about the seasons of life, right? Where I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he's talking about no matter what season of life I'm in, I'm good because of Christ. Not because of anything else, I'm good because of Christ. So when you come to this place to say, I'm not good because of my possessions, I'm not good because of my finances, I'm not good because, and we could just list the things that we think we're good until that's taken away. So are you really good with, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Because we look at Hebrews 13, and this is where we were closing last week. We'll pick it up today. Hebrews 13, verse 5 and 6 say this. This is great. Make sure. Everybody say, make sure. Make sure. Okay, does that leave it like gray area? Like maybe this is a good idea. You can try this. Make sure. I love this. Because this is Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor, going, listen, this is the deal. Tell the people this. Make sure. Like this isn't a gray area. This isn't like up for debate. Well, I don't know what that means. You know what it means? It means. Okay, one more time. It means. Alive, I like it. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, here it is, watch. This isn't your paycheck. This isn't if you have so much, because again, I have to be able to preach this around the world to the millions and billions who have nothing, who are hungry. And if you've been on any third world missions trip, you have seen them. They're hungry because they don't have food. So let's not Americanize the scripture, right? Let's look at this and apply it to our lives to say, listen, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. And I love it because we're going to see twice today that your character or your conduct is attached to your contentment. Your conduct or your character is attached to your contentment. Your conduct matters. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. Contentment's an attitude. Watch this now. For he himself has said, I love this. This is what he has said. This isn't hearsay. This is what Jesus said. Watch this. For I will never desert you, and I will never forsake you. Well, again, coming off of last week, Paul says, listen, no matter what season of life I'm in, I'm good because it's Christ who strengthens me. And in that, no matter where I'm at, have and have not, everything in between, whether I'm Americanized and have it, whether I'm in a different country and I don't have it, I can come to this place to say, because of Christ, I'm okay inside, man. I am content. And he continues this in Hebrews, says, listen, make sure that your character's free from the love of money, being content with what you have. How can I say that, man? I don't want to have that love for money and always have to get. I need the bigger thing. I need the better thing. I need to get. And again, please don't misunderstand this message. It's not about you having a nice car. It's not about you living in a nice house. If you have a car, you're way above 98% of the world. So it's not about you having a nice thing. It's where you put that on the priority list. Please, you got to know that in context of what God is saying here. It's not about you. Well, Sean, what am I supposed to do? I really do make a lot of money. Am I supposed to be bummed about that? Of course not. Where is it in your priority list? If that comes before the Lord and you're never satisfied, listen, the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5, if you are the one who loves money is never satisfied with money. Have you ever seen people just get more and get more and get more and get more and they're just never happy because they always want to get more? That's Ecclesiastes written by Solomon, second wisest man to ever walk the planet besides Jesus Christ, who is God, who came to say, listen, the one who loves money will never be satisfied with money. So you come to a place to boil this down and look at this. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you and I will never forsake you. Wow. So you're telling me that I can truly, completely, and totally 100% rely on him? Yes. If you come to the place to have to rely on stuff for your contentment, you're out of line priority-wise. And you're never going to find yourself satisfied. It might be temporary. New car has a great smell for a little while. Nothing wrong with a new car. Love it. But that new smell does wear out. Pumped about that house, and it's amazing. Live in a nice home. It's beautiful, incredible. But things, you find out what's wrong with the house after you've lived in it for a little while. You come to this place, watch this. Verse 6 says this. So that we confidently say, again, when you look at contentment, you have to put, I'm content because of Christ. I'm content. I'm satisfied because of who Jesus is in my life. That's why I'm satisfied. My satisfaction truly comes from who Christ is and nothing else. My satisfaction comes if I have or don't have. It has to come from Christ because he's the one who will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Watch this verse 6. This closes us out so that we may confidently say, I love this, confidently say, boldly say, know for absolute surely that I can say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? I love this idea to say, I am content, not even in just relationship, for the Lord is my helper. Man, why am I concerned about what man thinks? What am I worried about? What man is going to do for me? My contentment, my satisfaction comes from a character that isn't so pursuing just the love of money and stuff, but it really is pursuing Christ. And it walks in this place to say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid, for what will man do to me? What an amazing word to a young man, Timothy, from an elder named Paul. What happens if our young people today learned early in life it's not about stuff? Your life is not about stuff. Look at Luke 12:15. It'll be up on the screen. I want you to see this. Luke 12:15 says this. This is a great verse. And he said to them, beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. Greed will steal your contentment quickly. Greed, the must-have, the must-have more. Listen, again, nothing wrong with work, nothing wrong with a pay raise, love pay raise, love the bonuses, think it's fantastic. It's excellent. But if it's greed, if it's, I have to have more, I need to get more. Yeah, but you have enough, but it's not enough. I need more and I need more and I got to get and I got to get. That will steal your satisfaction and your contentment with what you have. Watch this. It says this. I love this. Be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. What would happen if we really, really understood what we're saying here is life isn't about stuff. Life isn't about stuff. When you really come to a place to understand life is about Christ, my satisfaction comes from Him. And when I'm good with Him, I'm good. Man, life isn't, even when you have an abundance, even when you have overflow, the word abundance means overflow. Even when you have an abundance, your life, it doesn't consist of stuff. The big test to this, amen. The big test in this is you live your life and you die. And if everyone only talks about your stuff, you blew it. You blew it. Your life does not consist of your stuff. Wouldn't it be horrible at your funeral? Someone go, man, I loved his car. Man, he that house of his, and then he built that other house. What a great house. Man, that spot they had on the beach, and nobody says anything about your character or your love for Christ or your love for others or your generosity, but boy, they liked your car. Your life doesn't consist of your stuff. Come on, Mark 8. I love this. It's great because it just kind of puts things in perspective. And again, this is more of a teaching, so I want you to see this. Mark 8, 35 and 36 will be up on the screen. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. It's talking about a life of giving and not taking. I think the most content people on the planet are the ones who know what it is to give. And watch this now, know what it is to live for others. Those are the content, satisfied people in life. Because the opposite of that is one who wants to get more and get more and get more. But the reality of life is contentment and satisfaction truly comes from the one who sacrifices, from the one who gives, from the one who surrenders. And I watch what he says here. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world, to have everything of possessions, but yet not have life? Because your life is not consistent of your stuff. Again, we're talking about contentment, and one of the contentment killers, and one of the things that will rob you of satisfaction is greed. Is greed, is always wanting to take. And I love, back to Ecclesiastes, you can put that up on the screen. Ecclesiastes 5:15 says this, and I love this because it just rings to an attitude of what is so true. As he has come naked from his mother womb, verse 15, and he will return as he came. He will take nothing from the fruit of his labor that he can carry into his hand. Isn't that true? Someone once said, you never saw a hearse with a U-Haul pulling it, right? You can't take your stuff with you. So when you really understand, and you can turn to 1 Timothy 6, when you understand scripturally what we're called to do, to live simply, man, we're supposed to live in a place of being content with what we have. Nothing wrong with a pay raise. Nothing wrong with a new job that's going to help provide for the family. That's amazing and wonderful, and I think it's great, as long as you put it on the priority list. That, you know what, with or without this, I'm good because of Jesus. And if I'm in India and I haven't eaten for 3 days, if I have nothing, if I get persecuted and beaten tomorrow for Jesus Christ, man, I want to be satisfied. I want to walk in this place of being content because it's about Him. He's my priority. what happens when you really buy into the truth, going, listen, I came in with nothing. And biblically, rightfully, 100% guarantee, if you go before Jesus returns, you know what you leave with? Nothing. So that in between, man, if I live this life that is a life that satisfies, that is a life that is content, knowing that life does not consist about stuff. Now watch this, 1 Timothy 6, this is great. Again, remember character and conduct. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 says this, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not, talking about false teachers, and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, with a doctrine conforming to godliness. I hope we don't loose this up, man. I hope we don't lose the idea of what it means to be godly. Because we live in a society, as much as we love America, as much as we love the country that we live in, as much as we love the freedom that we have, we are not allowed to come to a place to be okay in our lives as those who said, I'm a follower of Christ. Man, I have been blood bought, born again. When Jesus returns, I'm going with him because of my confession, understanding the level of sin, knowing that it separates me from God, knowing God loves me. I've come to a place to believe in him. Then listen, conduct matters, and it matters for you and I that we don't get loose in our godliness. We don't just come to say, well, everything's okay. Man, you can do whatever you want. And there's grace involved. No, listen. There's conduct that is involved in our godliness. Godliness means to walk with God in a way of fear of him, in a way of a reverence of him, in a way of a holiness. Your version may actually say holiness, that we walk in a place to know what godliness, there is godliness and there is ungodliness, church. And it's important that our conduct lines up with that which is godlike, godliness. That which is holy, that which is a conduct that looks like Christ. Now watch this, verse 4. And he is conceited, understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions, disputes about words. There's all false teaching, envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, constant friction between men of deprived mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. Verse 6, here it is. But godliness actually, watch this, is means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. So we see, make sure that your character is free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. That's conduct. And then we look at, again, it all has to do with attitude. We look at our conduct or our godliness or walking in that sense of holiness, knowing what it means to walk in a way in a reverence of him. And watch this, church. When you walk in a reverence of him and you walk in that right fear of him, your conduct will change. Your conduct will change. You'll begin to buy into, man, my conduct matters. Man, the way I carry myself, it matters. What I believe is sin matters. And I want to walk in a sense that is right before him because I have this right reverence and this right fear of God and in a sense of reverence and awe of who he is. And man, I want to walk in a way of holiness to know. And it changes your conduct. When you put in this, it matters. Watch this again, contentment's an attitude. Watch what it says. Verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Look at what verse 7 says, for we brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. Again, he hits this home about stuff and contentment. About stuff and contentment. He hits it home. I just want to read from 1 Timothy 4. I want you to see this. It says this, verse 6. And pointing out these things to my brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourishing on the words of faith and sound doctrine. Again, watching out for false teachers, which you have been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. Here it is again. Discipline yourself. Do you think it's important? Discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, for the purpose of holiness, for the purpose of my conduct matters. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. For it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. What happens when there's three words that I got to cover? And this is where it comes to a place to do a self-check within us to say, why is it that I just can't come to that place to be content? Why do I always have this struggle within me that it's so difficult for me to really just look at the position in life that I'm in and say, you know what? I'm good. If I had nothing else come my way, I can say that I'm satisfied. That's when you know you've got it right, when you can look at life and say, man, if I don't get the promotion, if I don't get that, I'm good with where I'm at. I'm really okay within. I am content with where I'm at in life. I'm good. And that is that living simply, biblically, putting in the right context, knowing that contentment is an attitude and has absolutely nothing to do with your stuff. But what happens when we cover a word called covetousness? Or being one who covets. See, I want to give you the definition of covet, because it's one of those things that it means desire to acquire what somebody else has. Like if you see what somebody else has and something kind of boils up within you going, oh, I don't have that. Now my car doesn't look so good. Yesterday I thought it was a great car, but I saw their car and now all of a sudden my car is not good. It's an attitude. All of a sudden my car is just not good enough. Honey, do you see that little tiny rust spot? We need a new car because the Joneses got a new car. The poor Joneses, whoever's named the Joneses, you get ripped all the time. Trying to keep up with the bankrupt Joneses is difficult, church. And you look and say, well, they got a new car all of a sudden. But it's funny because it happens. You start looking at the car lots because someone else got a new car. Honey, I think we should go look at car, so-and-so got a new car. Honey, our car is fine. It drives great. It works. It gets us from point A to point B. Yeah, but they got a new car, and it just got me thinking that we should get a new car. It is desiring to acquire what somebody else has. And all of a sudden, I was once really good with my car. And all of a sudden, now my car is not good enough. And then you have a word that's a dangerous word that one-ups what it is to covet someone or something. And then you have this word envy. Because envy is very similar to coveting, because envy is the desire to acquire what somebody else has. But then it has this evil attached to it, where I not only want to desire what you have, all of a sudden what I have isn't good enough. I'm mad at you and I detest you because you have it and I don't. See, there's a switch there, which we go from desiring to acquire, once I was satisfied, and now I see you got something new, or you moved to a new neighborhood, and I'm not happy right now because I don't have what you have. That's being coveted. One who is envious, watch this now, it's a step above that. And it becomes malicious because now you detest somebody, or you're literally mad at somebody, and they've done nothing to you, but they have something that you don't. Talk about greed, talk about coveting, talk about envying. These things will just steal your contentment. What happens if you just were saying, I'm happy with what I got? I don't need to look around and want what you have. Man, I'm pumped with what I got. And I'm, watch this now, I'm so thankful. We're going to talk about this next week on what it really means to be thankful, as that is the test to say, if I am really content, I can say, man, I'm good. I'm thankful with what I got. And then the third word that we need to just cover in this teaching sense is the word jealousy. Greed, covet, envy, they just kill contentment. And can I dare say that we can probably all struggle with that? And then you have jealousy. I think the top three breed jealousy. And jealousy is a crazy animal. Jealousy means that you're in competition, that you feel like when somebody enters the room, all of a sudden jealousy kicks in, and now you feel competition coming, watch this now, for something that you already have. Why do we walk into place, and I'm saying unwarranted jealousy, why do we walk into place in marriage that we're jealous over people that enter in the room when Renee belongs to me? I already have Renee. She's already mine. Why do I feel like I'm in competition with any other man who walks in this building when she's already mine? Like, it's such a false idea, and it steals being satisfied with what I have. Jealousy will come in and destroy, because you feel like you're always at rivalry and in competition for something that you already have, and it's evil and it stinks. Now, what happens? So what happens when we come to a place this morning and we don't just come to check a box and do our service of coming to church, and we don't just come to a place and say, man, I went to church today. Ooh, what happens when we actually come to church to say, God, challenge me and change me and convict me, and God, I want to have a life that I can say, I'm good, man. I am satisfied with what I have. I'm not in that place of greed. Watch this now. You know how you conquer envy? You know how you conquer covetousness? You know how you conquer jealousy? Watch this. You're actually truly, authentically thankful for what somebody else has. Man, I'm so glad that you got that new car, man. I love that car. That's a nice looking car for you. Man, I'm glad that God has blessed you with that new house, man. That's amazing. What an amazing place. And it absolutely trumps the idea of I want what you got. But no, man, I'm actually pumped and thankful and blessed when you're blessed, man. I'm so excited for you for what you have. Man, it just rips envy right out, and it rips coveting right out, and it rips jealousy right out. And you can come to the place to honestly say, I'm really good with what I got. I'm satisfied, man. I'm good. And there is a peace and there is a rest that comes with contentment, church. Because you come to a place and you know what? I'm content because I'm in Christ. And I'm content because He will never leave me nor forsake me. I'm content because the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? I'm good. I'm good because of Jesus. Come on, you just bow your heads, please, and just ask yourself this morning, are you good? Do you look and want what someone else has? Do you look at someone's marriage and you're actually jealous towards them, or you're envious towards them, or you're angry with them because they actually have a good marriage? And something weird and evil takes place in your heart where you're now detesting somebody else because they have something you don't? That's troublesome, folks. What happens when you come to a place to put a check mark next to this and say, God, help me in this. I want to be okay with what we got. Lord, if you decide to bless us more, amen to that. But even in that, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be content with what I have. God, I do not want my life to be a statement of my stuff. I do not want my pursuit of life to be a picture of my pursuit of stuff. Come on, hear that again. I do not want my picture of life, my pursuit of life, to be a picture of my pursuit of stuff. I do not want my pursuit of life to be a picture of my pursuit of stuff. God, I want to be satisfied with what I got. Man, and it comes from Christ. Do we pursue Christ? Do we understand what it means? I came to give you life, and I came to give it to you abundantly. Now, here. God, I want to be full of peace and rest and joy. I don't want that to be contingent on my stuff. If you're in this place, and let me just ask you first and foremost, man, do you know Christ? Do you know Jesus? Because that's it right there. Everything in this message and this teaching revolves around my understanding that Christ is enough. Whether I live in the land of plenty of America, or I live in a land where we haven't eaten in 3 days. Watch this, and if I am given a bag of rice, it means everything to my family. I can be okay because of Christ. And you come into a place right here and now to say, I need you, Jesus. I understand sin and I understand wrongdoing and I understand that, God, you love me with such an incredible love that you sent your only begotten Son to die on a cross for me because of my sin, because of my wrong. What I rightfully deserve is death. But because you love me and because of your grace and because of your mercy, I see it. I get it. I deserve death, but I don't have to have death because you love me, because you sent your Son to die on a cross. Payment had to be paid. And he paid it for me. And I believe in that. And I trust in that. And in this moment, I come to a place to say, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. And Jesus, you're the answer. And Jesus, I call on your name that from today forward, I'll be satisfied in you and in you alone. And today forward, I come to a place to know you as Lord and Savior. And I believe and I trust in you. And I call on your name in this place right now of surrendering to you as my Lord and as my Savior. And I spiritually bow to you and I take a knee that you are my Lord and I walk in obedience to you. Father, we love you so much and we thank you. God, what a word today, even for me and for this church, and God, who we are as individuals and who we are as corporately in a community. God, we would be so thankful. Never look around at what other people are doing or what they have. Just to be so grateful for you in our lives. I don't know if there's any check marks within us, God. I just pray that we would drop them at your feet. Greed, the desire to never have enough, to covet, the desire to acquire what someone else has, envy, to hate those who have what we don't, and God, jealousy. Lord, we want to lay these things at your feet. Say, change us. Let us put our target on Christ. Let us put our attention on Christ and let us actually flip it, our attitude, to be thankful for the blessings on others, God. We love you. Bless us this week as we go, to have a great week, to walk in a way that is right with you, to walk in a godly sense, to walk in a great fear of you, to walk in a conduct that matters before you, to walk in a place of holiness, to walk in a place of reverence to you and your word. Holy Spirit, move in our lives in a real way this week, that we'd walk in your presence this week, God. Everywhere we go, we walk in your presence as you reign within us, you dwell within us, you stay within us. And Lord, help us to know that everywhere we go, we walk in your presence. Everywhere we go, you go with us. And it's a beautiful thing. And we thank you for it. Bless us this week in Jesus' name. Come on, amen.